Our guest today, Jen Stevens, is an author, podcaster, and global leader in the intermittent fasting movement, at one time gathering over 500,000 followers in her Facebook groups and writing New York Times and USA Today bestseller Fast, Feast, Repeat, and Amazon number one bestseller in the weight loss category, Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. We are going to dive into these books, plus her latest book, Cleanish, and discover how they hold vital secrets for us to stay fit, healthy, and successful for the long game in our lives as writers and creatives. Welcome, Jen.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I love to talk about intermittent fasting, but I also love to talk to writers. That's one of my favorite kinds of things to do. I love to talk to Joanna Penn when I was on her podcast, and I'm great, glad to be here with your audience because, you know, I was a teacher for 28 years and I taught elementary school kids. And so, you know, I love to talk to people who create things.
I was going to ask you to give us the 30,000-foot overview of your life from teaching to now, but let's start with, you know, the key moment when you had the aha of how you were going to stop yo-yo dieting.
You know, like so many people who are probably listening, you know, all across all walks of life, so many of us have struggled with our weight, you know, for decades. I'm 52. And from the time that I first went off to college and gained the freshman 15 until I was in my, you know, late 40s, I struggled with my weight and I would yo-yo up and down, up and down. And I always thought there had to be an easier way. And I was in search of it. You know, I was always looking for the magic diet, you know, the magic food combination that would work. What I discovered over time was it wasn't the magic of what you eat, though that is important, but when you eat can make a really huge difference. And that is intermittent fasting. That's why intermittent fasting is not a diet, of course. It's about when you eat. What you eat is you know, totally different. That's what you eat when you're eating. But with intermittent fasting, we just change when we eat, and it does so many amazing things in our bodies. So it was 2014 when I really, you know, got the wake-up call. I had some photos from a trip that I'd taken with my family, and I was obese. I was 210 pounds, and I was like, I've got to get off this roller coaster of ups and downs. And I had been dabbling with intermittent fasting over the years since I first heard of it in 2009, but I never did it consistently enough or correctly or long enough to make it really stick so my body could get adapted. So I was just so desperate there in 2014 that I'm like, this is going to be the time. You know, I went on to lose over 80 pounds and hit my goal in 2015. And in 2022, gosh, it's going to be, 7 years that I have been maintaining my weight, which is remarkable, even as I've gone through menopause. So intermittent fasting is what I searched for all those decades when I struggled with diets. It's the only thing in my entire life that ever worked and allowed me to maintain in a healthy weight range long term. And that's really what we're all looking for.
Yes. Can you describe it briefly, what it is and what it isn't?
Yes. Well, first I'll start by saying what it isn't. You know, so many people, they hear the word fasting. And, you know, I didn't name it intermittent fasting. You know, maybe if I could go back, we would stick with the scientific term time-restricted eating because that sounds so much better. Or even the word restricted sounds a little hard. Maybe we would just say time-focused eating. I don't know. That sounds just a little more, oh, that sounds very positive, time-focused eating. We see fasting and we think it's going to be like this horrible restrictive thing and it's going to be hard. There's a great saying, you know, diets are easy in contemplation and hard in execution. We've all found that to be true. But intermittent fasting is hard in contemplation, but easy in execution. So we think it's going to be so hard. So one of the misconceptions is that you're going to be over-restrictive. It's going to be hard. You're not going to be able to do it. You know, what really was hard was those low-calorie diets where you tried to eat all day. But with intermittent fasting, the most common approach, time-restricted eating, is that other word for it that they use in the scientific journals. And you're basically putting all of your eating into a window of time. We call that your eating window. And a great place to start is an 8-hour eating window. Like perhaps you open your eating window at noon and you close it at 8 p.m. So for the other 16 hours of the day, you're fasting clean. We'll get into that in a few minutes, I'm sure. During the fast, some amazing things happen. your body has finally the ability to tap into your fat stores for fuel thanks to the clean fast. So you don't have that hangry, hungry feeling that you might have had, like if you had your little tiny diet breakfast and then your tiny diet snack, like in the diets of the past where you're like all the time you're starving. Mm-hmm. Totally different with intermittent fasting. Your body's like, I know how to fuel myself when I'm in the fasted state. That's what our bodies are meant to do. We become metabolically flexible. And so you can access stored fat during the fast. So that's what being metabolically flexible is all about. And that's our goal. Over time, most people, if weight loss is your goal, you may want to have a shorter window than 8 hours. So if someone's listening right now, they might be like, what? Eat in a period of time less than noon to 8 p.m.? But that's what I do. I open my window in the late afternoon. I usually have a hearty snack. And then later I have a very satisfying dinner. I don't restrict any foods that I love to eat. Every day I eat foods that are delicious until I'm satisfied. And at 52, I feel better than I did in my 30s.
So you're burning stored fat for fuel while you're fasting. Yep. And yep. Tell us about that fourth word for the Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Oh, autophagy.
Autophagy. Yeah. Tell us how it's also benefiting us when we just stop the eating and allow the body, well, overnight, but then later into the day without feeding it.
Another thing also that I want to pop in there is that our body makes ketones while we're fasting. And that is what gives us the great mental clarity and why we feel so good, because our brains love ketones. You don't have to be on the keto diet to make ketones in your body. So that's a common misconception, because I eat plenty of carbs. Okay. And my brain is well fueled from ketones during the fast once my body switches over to fat burning.
Okay. That was definitely one of the things I wanted for writers and creatives to get. Mm-hmm. This sharp brain, this ability to concentrate for longer, and benefits for a person who's concentrating and wants to achieve things during the day.
Because that is just the most remarkable part. You know, I just wrote my new book, Cleanish, Eat Mostly Clean, Live Mainly Clean, and Unlock Your Body's Natural Ability to Self-Clean. And I wrote it. I had a pretty short deadline. I wrote it from January, and then it was due at the end of March. I mean, this book is like 400 and something pages, and it had to be, it's very scientific. I had to research it. So I wrote the whole entire book in the fasted state. Now, obviously, I didn't fast from January to March. I eat every day. But when it was time for me to write every day, I would sit down, I would do my research, I would do my writing. I fasted through it all, and that mental clarity was amazing. And then, you know, by the end of it, you know, writing, your brain uses a lot of energy when you're focused on that. It was really both of my last two books, I wrote completely in the fasted state, because that's when I have so much more mental clarity and sharpness, thanks to those ketones that our brains love.
And in the beginning, when you, I know you have a 28-day system
fast
that you recommend.
Start, right.
In the beginning, if you're a writer and you sit down to write and you don't have to think about the kitchen or breakfast,
right.
You do go, it does give you something to focus on, to stay away from
it's
thinking
true.
About food in the beginning, you know, to just keep out at your writing until, say, 2 o'clock or whenever.
And I do want to say that someone who's starting out is not going to have that mental clarity on day one. You have to let your body adapt. That metabolic flexibility I was talking about earlier, you don't have that day one, because we've trained our bodies, if we've been following conventional dietary advice to eat frequently and snack often, then your body is used to running on glucose, or, you know, the fuel from the food that you're eating. So you've got to give your body time. You know, for the first few weeks, you might actually feel foggy. It's okay. Not until you get to the other side of that metabolic adaptation period that you're going to feel better. But once you do, it really is remarkable.
I think that's why I said for the long game.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Sometimes like any new habit, you have to sacrifice some of the ease until it becomes easy.
Exactly. It becomes easy. It might not be on day one, but it absolutely does. Would you like for me to go back to autophagy now?
Yes. Let's
okay.
Cover what could be happening that's going to benefit us in what they call non-scale victories.
Well, autophagy came to the intermittent fasting community's lips in 2016. The Nobel Prize in Medicine was awarded based on research on the idea of autophagy. In autophagy, the processes of autophagy, our bodies become great at recycling old junky things. Think about this. You don't have anything coming in. You're fasting. So your body's like, okay, nothing's coming in. I have time to do a little cleaning around here, but I've got to also make the most of what's here. It's kind of like, you know, if you hadn't been to the grocery store in a while and you had to create a dinner, you would dig around in the back of your pantry, maybe the back of the fridge, see what's there. That's what your body does as well. It can recycle old junky proteins. It breaks down things that are not functioning anymore. It can even work to fight, you know, pathogens that are coming in, viruses, you know, things like that. Your body has time to really focus on those and clean it up. It's our best self-cleaning mechanism. So I love to think of, you know, while I'm fasting every day, my body is doing the important house cleaning work that we need to give it time to do. Because if you think about, again, back to, you know, the typical what we've been told to do with our dietary advice, eat small amounts, eat frequently. Well, your body is going to be dealing with that. No need to go into the pantry if a new food delivery comes every hour and a half, right? We really want to upregulate autophagy because so many of the lifestyle diseases and the diseases of aging are linked to decreased autophagy. So as we get older, our bodies are not as good at the autophagy processes, but fasting helps us get better at that. So we're going to age better. It's going to be great for longevity. Well, intermittent fasting helps me maintain my weight while continuing to eat the foods that I love. So I wouldn't stop doing it for that reason. But also, I know I'm giving myself incredible health benefits.
Could you give us some of the almost miraculous results with IBS or skin problems? Or
like, I had a guest on Intermittent Fasting Stories. Donna was her name. And she talked about how she had a C-section scar that was thick and ropey for like over 30 years. And with intermittent fasting, it like went away and was just a line on her abdomen instead of a thick, ropey scar. You have to think autophagy in her body. Her body saw that as excess, whatever, not needed, ate it up. I mean, it's just remarkable to think about.
Yes.
And we hear, you know, so many of the lifestyle diseases and problems and issues we have right now come from, you know, like maybe you mentioned IBS. Maybe your gut is damaged. Your gut microbiome is not healthy. You have a damaged gut lining. Well, periods of digestive rest give our bodies time to our gut to heal. So I've heard all sorts of people with Crohn's disease, people with IBS, finding relief from their symptoms. It's just really remarkable. Anything that is connected to inflammation. Also, it's very likely you're going to see an improvement. Just my own personal anecdotal case has to do with seasonal allergies. I had terrible seasonal allergies. I live in Augusta, Georgia. We have so much pollen that it looks like it snowed yellow during the spring here. And so during peak, I mean, I took a daily antihistamine year round, but in the spring, I would take my daily antihistamine, and I also had to take Benadryl just to survive. Like, I would stick Kleenex up my nose. That's how much my nose was running. I sneezed. It was miserable. And, you know, an allergic response has to do a lot with your body is just overloaded, inflammatory state, that sort of a thing. After intermittent fasting, I haven't taken an allergy medicine of any kind since 2016. I still live in Augusta, Georgia. We still have the pollen. On a few really bad days, if I rub my eyes might itch. The decreased inflammation in my body, it's amazing.
What is a clean fast?
And truthfully, a lot of people putting information out there about what's okay to have in the fast, they'll say, it's okay to have this. Oh, and I've got some I will sell you. The good news is you don't have to buy anything. There is not a single product you need to buy to make your clean fast better. Your body knows what to do. We want to not put as much in because we want our bodies to have to do their thing. So let me tell you what the three fasting goals are, because when you understand the clean fasting goals, you'll understand why you don't need all this or want all this stuff. So fasting goal number one is we want to keep our insulin levels low. One thing that I learned when reading Dr. Jason Fung's book, The Obesity Code, in 2016 is the connection between high levels of insulin and being in storage mode. Insulin is a storage hormone. We've all heard about it through, you know, the lens of diabetes, type 1, type 2. But if you have high levels of insulin, it's also anti-lipolytic. Big word. It means stops fat burning. So if you've got high levels of insulin, you're going to have a hard time tapping into fat stores for fuel. So we want to keep our insulin low. Well, when does our body release insulin? Well, it's designed to be released in response to eating. Food coming in, you know, you're eating something sweet, high glucose load, your blood sugar is going to go up, and our body needs to release insulin to lower our blood sugar. That's what it's for. Now let's imagine we're trying to fast. We want to get our insulin low, but we're drinking a diet soda. It tastes sweet. Our brains don't understand artificial sweeteners. You know, they think, oh, something sweet's coming in. This must be a glucose load, because that's all our brain understands. Because naturally, and you know, all throughout history, something sweet was honey, fruit, whatever. It's going to have a high sugar load. So our pancreas pumps out insulin in response to that cephalic insulin response, our brain tasting the sweetness. Brain pumps out insulin. We didn't really need it because our blood sugar isn't going to go up from a diet soda, but it gets everything all confused. Our insulin's high. It's not what we want. So you don't want to have anything coming into your mouth that tastes sweet or food-like, because you don't want your brain to think that you need insulin coming in. So stick to things like plain water, unflavored. Don't add lemon. Don't add anything food-like, like apple cider vinegar or anything that's going to make your body think food's coming in. Black coffee, plain tea. Those have a bitter flavor profile, and our bodies don't release insulin in response to a bitter flavor profile. Sparkling water is fine. It needs to also be plain. Don't pick up the flavored ones. Don't chew gum. You don't want mints. Avoid all of that stuff that's going to have that sweet flavor. Our second fasting goal is we want to tap into our stored fat for fuel. And if you're taking in fat during the fast, like a bulletproof coffee, MCT oil, butter, cream, anything that you're putting into your coffee like that, you may hear it's perfectly fine, but your body is going to turn to that, not your stored fat. It also, you know, could stimulate hunger. You might think that it's helping you get through the fasting time, that it's giving you energy and making it easier, but over the long run, it really isn't. So I promise you that is not helping you, even if you think that it is. And the third fasting goal is we want to keep autophagy going strong. Well, what would stop autophagy? Protein. That's why you don't want to drink bone broth. Bone broth is full of protein. Keep the bone broth out of your fast. You can open your window with it if you'd like. You know, it's a very healing food for a lot of people, but it's food. Bitter flavor profile, coffee, plain tea, or something like plain water, plain sparkling water. Anybody who doesn't believe that makes a difference, I want to challenge you to take the clean fast challenge. Try it my way for a month and you will not go back.
Which moves us into the segment where I want to talk about your book.
The journey towards being cleanish, you know, with eating and living started in the early 2000s. We had a son. I call him my canary in the coal mine. But it turns out he reacted emotionally to chemicals in our foods, artificial flavors, artificial colors, preservatives, chemicals in our environment. Like if someone sprayed Lysol around him, I mean, I was like, this is ridiculous. When I first heard the theory, a teacher said, could it be what he's eating? Because he was getting kicked out of daycare. He was having tantrums. It was like he turned into a whole different person all of a sudden with a flip of a switch. And I didn't know why. I went home and started doing, you know, a web search. And sure enough, found that as early as the 1970s, you know, there was a doctor in California, Dr. Benjamin Feingold, who noticed that his young patients had these reactions. He connected, you know, artificial colors, for example, to, you know, hyperactivity. And he realized that by changing their diet, they changed completely. It was every single food that I had in the house was full of artificial flavors, colors, and preservatives that he reacted to. So we had to get rid of everything. And it was amazing. You know, he didn't get kicked out anymore. You know, he skipped second grade. He was in first grade, skipped second grade, went straight to third grade. He was successful. You know, was he a perfect child? No, he was a boy, but it made such a difference. We never had to medicate him. We never had to, you know, go that route with medical care where we're medicating his issues. Instead, we controlled it through diet, and it was absolutely amazing. So that got me started with the whole idea that what we put into our bodies really have a powerful effect. And with intermittent fasting, you know, I started off, you might think that from when Will was a child until forever, we just kept that clean eating. No, he grew out of, I talk about this in Cleanish, he grew out of a lot of those issues. I think he healed his gut, because the gut microbiome is really important when it comes to mood. I'm sure everyone has heard the gut is your second brain. And so much of our mood is related to our gut health. But I feel like that changing his diet allowed his gut to heal, because so many of these chemicals really just destroy our gut microbiome. So he finally was able to tolerate more foods. And then we started eating all the foods again. All of us did. So were we eating clean? Absolutely not. So for that whole period of time, when he was in middle school, high school, when, you know, getting older, we just ate, you know, whatever we felt like eating. But as I continued to live the intermittent fasting lifestyle, Something that I found, like so many intermittent fasters find, is my tastes in food began to change. I do think that a lot of that has to do with the black coffee that I drink, because suddenly, you know, I'm drinking this bitter coffee and it kind of opened up my palate to tolerate more bitter foods. But as I gravitating towards, you know, more vegetables, higher quality foods, I didn't even like the old ones that I used to eat. You know, they didn't taste good to me. So the better I ate, the better I felt. The better I felt, the better I ate, the more I wanted to eat those foods. And those are the ones that like appealed to me. Instead of like the fries looking amazing, I'm like eyeing the Brussels sprouts. The transition to cleanish eating just really happened naturally. My publisher was really excited that I had a New York Times bestseller. And she's like, what's your next fasting book going to be? And I'm like, I'm not writing another fasting book. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm ready to go beyond that, because I really want to help people as they continue with their lifestyle, just get so interested in being vibrantly healthy. So I started researching for Cleanish, the idea of eating mostly clean and living mainly clean. And the more I researched, it brought me straight back to that time when Will was little. And I was like, you know, we really all need to do a better job of getting these chemicals out of our lives. And it's all in the book, Cleanish, and how you can do that, you know, without being dogmatic, without being afraid to live in the modern world. That's what's so important. But just knowing that we can lower our overall toxic load of what's coming in, and you can still enjoy your life. You can still eat foods that are delicious. It's just, you know, like I drink coffee in the morning when I'm fasting. I drink organic coffee because that helps me lower my toxic load. You know, I'm not overly dogmatic. I make choices every day that lower my toxic load, putting less in. I eat healthy foods that helps our body self-clean. You know, several self-cleaning tools that I choose. Fasting is one of them. I have a sauna, you know, things like that. So there's so much we can do as we become cleanish.
As we're coming to the end of this, just tell us about how so many of your followers have actually written their own books. Is it to tell their stories like you did, because you're very frank about, you know, your journey? Or is it just because their lives have changed so much? And how many thousands of people do you think your books have and your message has changed?
Definitely hundreds of thousands of people have read my books. And I don't know. I mean, I know how many downloads I've had on my podcasts, and those are in the millions, almost 500,000 in the Facebook groups. It makes me think the reach has got to be big, and that's a little bit overwhelming and hard to imagine, because I'm sitting here in Augusta, Georgia. I'm a retired school teacher. I never set out to start a movement or change the world. I just wanted to tell everyone I could about this amazing, you know, intermittent fasting that changed my life. I love that people who started off reading Delayed on Deny, my first self-published book, or Fast, Feast, Repeat, you know, people who started off reading my books were then inspired to start their own podcasts or write their own books. And as a teacher, nothing makes me happier than seeing people create things, because that's what I did. You know, I worked with gifted learners. I actually had them write a book when they were in my fifth graders wrote a nonfiction book as their year-long fifth grade gifted project. And once I actually was a published writer, it was so much fun, because I was no longer just, you know, theoretically talking to them about it. I'm like, well, when I wrote my book, self-publishing really is the reason I'm sitting here today talking to you. Because no publisher would have taken on Delay, Don't Deny. Again, I was not a medical professional. I'm just a school teacher from Augusta, Georgia, who lost weight. And they would have been like, no, you don't have authority. Who are you? But suddenly, once I reached a lot of people with my self-published book, the publishers were like, oh, now you're interesting.
Let's ask you for one final thought or quote that you would like to leave writers, creatives.
You know, I'm going to go to Nike. Just do it. Get it out there. Write it. Perfection is not required. I mean, obviously, you want it to be professional. But if you sit around and wait for your message, your book to be perfect, it'll keep you from getting it out there, because there is no perfect. You know, every single book I've ever read that's gone through professional publishing houses, I've found typos in those books. You're going to have a typo in your book. You're going to have a mistake. It's not going to be perfect, but you can still get it out there. Just do it. Don't let fear hold you back. You've got something to say. You know, I am who I am. I am not who I'm not. So when I write, I want you to know who I am telling you this and you know, what I'm filtering it through. And I'm not trying to be an expert in a way that I'm not.
Thank you for that. Where can people follow up and find you?
Well, the number one place to go is jenstevens.com. Jen is G-I-N, Stevens is with a P-H, jenstevens.com. And from there, you can find me everywhere else. They're all linked from there. Like, for example, I have an intermittent fasting community. It's a private community. And I left Facebook in March of 2021 because it got to the point I couldn't manage it. One of the groups alone, we had like 300 and almost 350,000 members in that one group. So it became unmanageable. So we're in a small private community. So jenstevens.com/community will take you there. And it's an amazing place. You know, I'm there. You know, there's an Ask Jen space. There's a space for the 28-day fast start. Anyone who's interested in intermittent fasting, I mean, you can join for a month. You can join for a year. You can join for a lifetime. It's a very affordable. Like if you join for a year, it's just over $1 a week that everyone there is committed and has the right mindset. And it's just a beautiful place to be. But you can also go to jenstevens.com/cleanish. And there's some information there if you're ready to upgrade your life in the cleanish arena. And it's just, you know, once you start, you just feel so much better that you want to keep going. The same with fasting.
Thank you, Jen. It's been such a pleasure to hear your stories and your great success in changing lives in the world.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me on today's podcast. Want a free gift to inspire you further on your book writing adventure? My free checklist, 5 Book Hook Tips to Kickstart Your Book Writing Journey, will help you get clarity on the key essentials to make your book a winner. Download it at writethebookinsideyou.com/free gift. The links are in the show notes. Until next time, a big virtual hug. And keep writing.